Hello, and welcome to the NECA Safety Roundup podcast series. In today's challenging world of safety in the electrical, utility, and construction industries, we hope that our information and the conversations we have will help you to provide safety leadership within your organization. We will discuss the many issues involving safety and offer some guidance and solutions to the many challenges that we face.
Welcome back, everybody, to the NECA Safety Roundup. We have a special edition today. We're joined by Justin Asbill from Milwaukee Tool, and we want to talk about head protection. I'm Mike Starner, NECA's Executive Director of Outside Line Safety, joined by
Wes Wheeler, the Executive Director of Safety for NECA.
So, Justin, there's a lot of talk today about, should my company purchase these new style helmets, and what's the difference between, sort of a traditional style hard hat? How more protective are they? And what are some of the compliance things I need to be concerned about? And also, what are you seeing with customers? What are customers requiring? So that's just to paint the picture of what we're going to talk about today. Let's give us an overview. What's going on with these helmets?
Well, first and foremost, thanks for the opportunity to be on here with you guys. I always love learning with you as much as possible and the opportunity to educate people on new things and new innovations in the industry. So this is a pitcher type C normal hard hat most people wear in the construction industry and jobs. You can see the harness in there. There's an open space. This helmet is actually vented, so it's not type B. You can see this is a helmet or a hard hat that people have been wearing for years. And one of the problems is, In with the evolution of software and tracking types of incidents, we're learning of the types of incidents on jobs that people suffer, and that's traumatic brain injuries. And a lot of times it's from falls from on the same level, as well as falls from heights about 6 feet or under. The problem is these hard hats, the first thing that happens when you trip, they go flying off and go into another direction, and you hit your head. Mostly about 80% of those injuries are frontal lobe injuries. And what we're getting at with the transition to helmets is the protection that it offers to fight against frontal injuries. This has, you can see, this is a ANSI type 2 helmet, type E. And you can see the inside, you can see the much more protection in there than a four-piece harness, right? So,
and Justin, just for the folks who are listening in and not watching, the helmet that you're showing right now is a newer style versus the traditional style, and you're pointing out some of those features.
Yeah, this is a type 2 newer helmet. This is what we reference a construction helmet. This is a construction hard hat. We're trying to really navigate to that terminology so people understand. But the one thing that I do like to mention is not all helmets have type 2 protection. It's a special rating from different testing, and we're happy that ours meets that standard, because what that does is that gives you frontal protection against frontal lobe injuries. So when you fall and you hit your head forward, say an average person weighs 200 pounds, walks 3 miles per hour on a job. If they trip, fall, hit with no hard hat or helmet on, they hit a column. That's the same as getting hit by 102 mile per hour fastball from a professional pitcher, or a 98 mile an hour slap shot from a professional hockey player. So, and that's engineer statistics. So the transition, what these helmets do is that the chin guard helps keep the helmet on. And then if you fall forward or fall backwards, because with the ANSI 2 rating, you also have protection on the back of your head. So it's protecting the most vital parts of your head when you do fall, based on research from falls on the same level or falls from elevated heights.
I think, Justin, when we start looking at OSHA head protection requirements, and, having taught OSHA outreach training for years, and, the transition from the old style, ABC, type hard hats to what we consider now, which is, a class G for general use, a class E for electrical, and a class C, as you have represented there with the slots that, again, can provide a conductive path for somebody if they're not careful. So it's understanding those types. But, to your point, OSHA hard hats was meant to protect you from overhead hazards, yeah. You know, and dropped object protection. You know, when you look at type one to protect yourself from something that's going to drop on top of you, or type two, which would be, you know, something from a side impact that's going to cause you, you know, to the hard hat to shift a little bit. That, you know, in this particular case, these new helmet designs, I mean, think about it. For those of us that are parents and for those of us that you know, ride bicycles, yeah. Look at your bicycle helmet. I mean, and look at the design that we have here. You can't wear the helmet without wearing the chin strap to keep it in place. And when you start looking at these advances, if we're going to do it in the public, we're going to do it in a public realm. It makes sense to do something similar to that if we're going to be working for 8 hours on a job site.
I mean, this is pretty comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, we're throwing around a lot of terminology here, and OSHA. If you look at the OSHA standard, you know, it's pretty brief in what it says as far as its expectations for compliance. And, you know, protecting, like Wes talked us through, protecting from overhead, you know, dropped objects, but also from electrical shock, right? But then it essentially points to a consensus standard that's incorporated through reference. So that consensus standard is the ANSI's 89 standard for head protection. And that's where you'll find these, you know, these definitions around type, you know, different types. We know there's type one and type two, and we know we have various classes, and it's pretty easy to understand, but you can get caught up in that terminology. So I'll just read through the standard real quick. So a type one helmet is intended to reduce the force of impact resulting from a blow only to the top of the head. The type two, this is where you get the added protection. The type two helmets are intended to reduce the force of an impact resulting from a blow to the top of the head or the sides of the head. So it's essentially that black and white, right? The type one is from the top. The type two gives you protection on the sides. And why that's important, and why the safety helmet, you know, the evolution of these safety helmets and introducing into our space is important, is if you look at statistically, the people that could be protected from, you know, lower level falls. So, you know, obviously if you fall off a skyscraper, your helmet is probably not the thing that's going to save you, right?
All different ball game.
But what we find through research is lower level falls, falling from ladders and things like that, it certainly is instrumental in protecting you from a traumatic brain injury, because what happens when you fall, you tumble, your hard hat falls off, you know, these secondary impacts, sometimes your head will hit the ground with the helmet or hard hat, I should say, or helmet. Your head bounces up, and then the helmet falls off because there's no retention system, and now you contact your head and you have a traumatic brain injury. So there's a lot of benefits even on same level slip, trip, and fall type hazards to protect workers. So think about congested construction site. There's a lot of things that you could trip over and fall over, and having a PPE solution that protects in a broader, wider range from a broader range of hazards is important to consider. Justin, what do you think, you know, maybe some of the, you know, the drawbacks or I shouldn't say drawbacks, but maybe, you know, folks that are sitting on the sidelines kind of reluctant to jump into the pool. You know, what are some of the concerns out there that are kind of slowing down at adoption of these helmets?
Well, honestly, one of the, you know, I've been in the construction industry for 30 plus years, and one of the most important parts that I always remind people is that don't pick one specific brand, because they're not like, it's just like you have a safety committee or group, because they're not, everyone's going to like one specific kind. Everybody's got a bigger head, so some fit differently, that kind of deal. So the fit is most important, but the heat, it's a change. So if you're in Arizona, putting helmets in, starting the helmet program in the middle of summer in Arizona, you're not going to get a lot of buy-in, because it is a change, right? So predominantly in the construction industry, no one likes change. You know, hey, I've been wearing this for a million years. With helmets and hard hats, kind of our badge of honor, right? So understand and respect that, and then try an adaption program. So because it's a change, but also I think some of the challenges we've been seeing out there is not just from the heat or comfort, it's the adaptability of face shields, specific time. So some people, like we offer several different kinds, but so here's one, and then you've seen on my helmet, but showed here's a different kind of visor. So it really depends on the on the hazard, but understanding the challenges with that, because welding's been a tough one for everybody, for whether you're cutting or hoods. So we're navigating towards that, but that's been the big challenge, is that there's not a lot of opportunity to offer cutting towards shields, the adaptability of what you already have, face shields and stuff like that. And then another one is not all helmets have the adaptability for lighting solutions on them. You see mine has we have the click-in lighting, which is awesome, especially if you're in low lighted areas outside at night, that kind of stuff. If you're a lineman, that's instrumental during storm coverage at night, right? So I think that's one of the big pushbacks, is not all helmets have lighting opportunities. But the heat's the biggest one. People seem to think that they're hotter. They're not all helmets are hotter. It's a change, and it's a adjusting to that and getting acclimated.
Well, to that point, Justin, I think that, you know, and then I'm going to ask Mike about this, because this transition to helmets from hard hats. Okay. Having worked in the field many years before I came into this role at NECA, you know, a lot of times the hard hats that we wore had the design of the full brim, and they had the attachments that actually were approved to provide some sun protection, to provide, you know, in those situations, you know, they had to meet the requirements of the ANSI standard in order to be attached to it. But that full brim offered, hey, you know, for those of us that have, you know, light fair skin, you know, covering the ears or covering the back of the neck, you know, that full brim offered a little bit of protection against some of the other elements, in addition to the fall protection or the dropped object protection that we talked about. And, you know, I think that, you know, what's your thoughts as far as, you know, and the design of these moving forward, you know, is that going to be able to incorporate? Because Mike, you know, I guess the question to you is, linemen are pretty set in their ways, and they like hard hats that have a full brim on them. So tell me, what do you think is possibility in this helmet realm moving forward?
So, you know, I appreciate you asking that, Wes, because it's very important. And not only linemen, but iron workers and steam fitters, they all seem to like the full brim as well. First and foremost, from a heat and keeping the sun off, we do at Milwaukee to offer sun, like we have sun brims that can fit on it. They're really good. I have one. I have fair skin. When I'm out in the sun, I do wear it. I didn't bring it up, put on my helmet. So that is one thing that some manufacturers do have to offer, is the additional sunshade you can put on a helmet to protect against the sun. But from a full brim perspective, I know that we plan on launching our full brim in 2025. We're navigating through the testing criteria right now, because to meet the ANSI 2 testing requirement for full brim, when you have deflection, it's very hard to meet that. I do know one manufacturer does have one already. And it's hard because of the chin strap and meeting the impact retention based on the force pounds when it moves from the brim. We're pretty close to it right now, but it's something that we are, it's in our pipeline for 2025.
Yeah. I think the two biggest things that slow adoption for the outside groups is, first and foremost is the full brim, right? There's advantages to the sun and the rain and shedding off sawdust and dirt and all that kind of stuff. I think that's part of it, but look, honestly, I think a big part is just change management. You know, we talked about, you, Justin, you mentioned it, the badge of honor. You know, you've had this helmet. We always struggle with changing out helmets at the appropriate time. What we find is they end up on the job site maybe longer than they should be. They get, you know, adorned with stickers and things that add personality, and it becomes, you know, essentially part of the image, right? And so there's change management there. How do you introduce a product that still is protective, right? Meets those advanced protective qualities that these helmets have, but also speak to the tradesman to say, you know, I still feel like I look like a professional. I feel like this is something that, you know, isn't taking away from my comfort And, you know, another thing I think is getting in the way from adoption is the chin straps, right? You know, folks having this against underneath their neck all day long, you know, that's a new thing, right? So if they're not used to having that on their, underneath their chin, it's something they have to get used to. But that's where I think we really have to, as a community of practice, we really have to socialize the advantages of a retention system, right? So you're protecting your brain from a traumatic brain injury. Yeah. To do that, the helmet has to have these qualities that will protect you. And that means it needs to stay on your head. That means it needs to be reinforced in the right areas. That means the padding has to be appropriate. It has to be, for our folks, it has to be dielectric. And it has to do everything that we need it to do. But there's some change management associated with that. So I think that's the big nut we have to crack.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that about the ANSI standard. There's a new, it's not new, it's been out a couple of years, but the ANSI standard changed a few years ago and it adopted the manufacturer's born on date and how long a helmet's good for, shelf life and in the field, right? So that's something to just keep in mind. I always try to remind people, I wore my carbon fiber for years, the same one. It wouldn't pass nowadays, right? So to keep that in mind. But the other side is, I consider helmets like life safety equipment. It does protect one of the most vital parts of your body, and that's your brain. You want to make sure it's in good working condition and inspected often. And then just to hammer home on your messaging, Mike, it's the most vital part of any change in any company from a safety perspective is the delivery of why. I think if you explain to trade professionals, hey, this isn't just something I want to do to make your day worse. It's something I care about you. I care about you falling. Here's the information that we got statistically. I mean, there's so much information out there, but rotational force, TBIs is what makes people's life either end or really miserable if they suffer on the job. They're never the same again. This is part of the solution right now, besides access safety and, you know, changing your approach to that with your SIPs, right? So I think it's important to always remember the messaging component to it and why, and explain it to trade professionals on a level that they understand more than just pushing it down the throat.
Well, you know, that's just a great point to make, Justin. And, you know, that change management on, you know, we're always have to be open to new ideas,
yep,
new products, new procedures. I mean, how often have we changed the policy and procedure based it? You know, that may have been the way you did it 20 years ago, but with technology now and the things that are happening in our industry, we're no longer at a snail's pace. I mean, we're moving at the speed of light, literally. I mean, when we talk about electricity, wow, at the speed of light. And I think that, you know, looking at this and the thing that kind of, you know, as we close here, you know, some emphasis points that we can kind of just leave you with for thought process is, you know, this didn't just come out yesterday. This isn't the, you know, latest, greatest thing. I mean, this design and these concepts date back to 2016, 2018, 2019, when companies started implementing some of these helmet designs. With the, you know, and up until now, really the only requirement for OSHA was if you worked underneath the helicopter, you had to wear a chin strap to keep a hard hat from moving. Well, it's beneficial in other areas, like you talk about in the fall protection from the same level or fall protection from 6 foot to keep it in place. So it's just a matter of looking at, you know, we're asked to do this all the time. Look at safety differently and you'd be surprised how much safer you can be. So, you know, with that, I think that's just some, you know, some great technology, some great innovation. And, you know, we look forward to, you know, to all the manufacturers and all the things that are coming down the pike. I mean, because none of us rest, you know, on what we've done in the past. We always look, what is the next thing that we can bring to the table to keep our workers safe?
Yeah, and what's interesting about this is this is one of those initiatives that's really customer driven. You know, the regulatory is pretty plain and simple, right? Protect from falling objects, make sure that there's dielectric qualities for folks who are exposed to electrical hazard. And then after that, it's just, you know, whatever the customer. So what we're seeing is the customers are driving this. So for anyone listening, I encourage you to do your background, you know, do some digging into this and find out the background and figure out, you know, how you're going to position your company moving into the future. I think it's a safe bet that these things are going to find their way into contractual requirements more and more often. And so it's in your interest to set yourself up for success. And hey, these are protective. They actually work. They actually protect and save lives. And that's really what, as a safety professional, we're trying to do. So with that, Justin, I want to thank you for joining us. And Wes, what a great conversation we had about protecting workers. And I want to say thanks for everybody who tuned in. And please join us next time on NECA Safety Roundup.